Accession number 30650, Mr. Joe Hardy, reel 4. Now, just before we finish, because it's quite an interesting and unusual ship to be on. I know it's not what you wanted.
Not what I wanted.
But it is unusual, and it's quite...
Well, as I say, if it had been at the end of my service, I'd have loved it. I really would have.
You got any more stories or just things you remember from her? Because it's just so unusual.
No, well, as I say, the reason I come to leave it, I'd put in a couple of requests to leave, and in the finish, I thought the only way to leave this boat is if I go on desert for a while. I never dreamed of it, like, you know. So I go home for a weekend, and remember, there's only 4 seamen on there. And what I did, I went home for a weekend, and I thought, if you're away from a ship for 7 days, they have to get you relief, and they send all your gear into barracks. And I thought, this is a way, I'll take what's coming, anything they got to give me, and I'm off the boat. So I've gone home, and then Monday morning, my mother used to call me to get me up and get me breakfast, like, to go back. I'd have to get back, I don't know, 9 o'clock. And she called me. I said, yeah, okay, and I didn't bother to get up. And she kept coming calling me. She said, haven't you got up? I said, yeah, not until later. Not until later. She kept calling me. So in the finish, I finally got up and I said, I'm going out. So she said, ain't you supposed to get back? I said, no, I've got longer. I went to Romford. I went to Pictures. I come out of the Pictures. And I went and found another cinema. I went into Pictures again. I didn't know what to do with myself. And I come out of there and I've gone back towards home, walking around Beckentreath now and Merry Fiddlers. I used to have wrestling over the back of the pub, Merry Fiddlers. My father used to go every Monday night. Anyway, I'm walking around there, I suppose, 8 or 9 o'clock. And my sister was there. She'd come run up and she'd been looking for me. And asked me, she said, Dad's looking for you, he's going to kill you. My father, like, you know, he's looking, because my case was still back at home. She said, Dad's looking for you, if he finds you, he'll kill you. So I thought, blow me, I can't face him. Like, so I went running back home, said tail on him, and went off. And I got back, I was 24 hours, I think. I finished up, not a week, which I'd planned to be. I lost me nerve, like, you know, and I got back. And the cops, and he carried an alarm, he said, you're going to spoil it for all of us. You go do things like that. So he said, what was it, something domestic? I said, no, I didn't want to come back. He said, when you see the skipper, it's something domestic. You've got to say it's domestic. So I thought, yeah, all right. So anyway, when I saw the skipper, he started saying to me, what was it? So I said, I didn't want to come back. So he didn't know what to say. So he looked round. He saw the 6 coming in. So I thought he'd have a chat with the skipper on the 6, like, you know. So he gave what I think it was standover, so, which meant I'll see you again. There's the cops and carrying on at us, and then I go back and see the skipper, and he gave me a right lecture about, you know, doing it, because it was only a small boat, we'd done different routine to the Royal Navy, it was still Royal Navy, and I was still under certain rules and regulations and this, that, and they'll give me a big lecture. They give me what they call scale. I think I finished up with about 8 days leave and pay stopped. But he let me go home the following weekend again, so... It was all right.
You mentioned there were national servicemen amongst the
group. On there, the stoker was national service and one seaman was national service, yeah.
How did you... There weren't so many national servicemen in the Navy.
He didn't get many in the Navy.
How many... How did you get on with them?
Didn't see many. Triumph. On the... Yeah, we had some in the mess on the Triumph, but the point is, I was in the Med Fleet with the Triumph.
No, but I mean, with those two on the...
Mates, yeah.
Were they any different? Now, anything else happened that you remember aboard the SML5?
Oh, no, that can go on forever, I think. No.
So what next, then? You do get off in the end.
I got off in the end.
How does that come? I mean, what caused that?
Eventually, they gave me... I'd been asking. I think eventually they said, yeah, I'd been requesting, asking to leave there and go on a ship. A proper ship, which I didn't really get on because it was a carrier. I still didn't get on one with torpedo and Aztecs.
So you go back to Pembroke. It seems for 4 months.
Was it 4 months?
Well, it looks like, yeah. Well, it says December 1948 to April 1949. Oh, well. So, and then it's the Triumph. Mm. Anything about your time in Pembroke? Or
I think it was Barrack Guard mostly. That was just gate duties and things like that.
Is it? I mean, what is life different in the? I mean, some people didn't like it in barracks. Some people seem to try and stay in barracks, but
no, I'd sooner be on a ship than barracks. There was more discipline in barracks. Well, not discipline. Dress code was more strict, wasn't it, in barracks and things like that. I'd sooner be on a ship.
And we never actually asked. I mean, you don't have a choice in home port. You're automatically assigned, aren't you, as a Londoner?
No, they asked.
Oh, well, tell me about that.
No, they asked what division you'd like to go in. I think, I don't know if, I always said Chatham because it was the obvious one, it was the nearest one too, but I don't know if I think there were some Londoners went to Portsmouth, I don't know if any went to Gosport, I don't know. But I think I had the choice, yeah, if I'd wanted Portsmouth, I think no problem. I chose was Chatham being the nearest one, like, you know.
Now, what about your posting to the Triumph? Tell us how that happened.
Well, I went in. They put you on a... What did they put? They put you on... What was it? I think they called it party ban. Where they give you... You go home for 14 days. And if you don't get a draft within 3 months, you get another 14 days. But if you get a draft within that 3 months... You've had your leave, like, you know, so you just go. And I think I was on that for a while. And I'll go into the drill shed one day and they're getting a crew for the Triumph. And I looked up and my name was on it. And
what did you think?
I was quite happy, quite pleased.
I mean, it's an aircraft carrier.
Yeah,
I'd
sooner it had been a smaller ship because you've got torpedo nastics on a... You've got no torpedo tubes on a carrier. There was only two of us on there, torpedoemen, out of a crew of 1,000. So all we had on there was demolitions and paravanes, like minesweeping.
Okay. So where did you join her?
I think that was in Sheerness. I'm sure it was, because we marched from barracks with a marine band for early hours of the morning. I don't know, Sheerness, Gillingham, I think it's Sheerness.
And what were your first impressions of her? It's your first aircraft carrier.
Mm. Yeah. I'd been on one before doing the training. They took us on a trip on the Illustrious, I believe, just to look around, like, just as a look around. But
So what did you think of her?
Yeah, nice. Nice ship, big. Had plenty of space.
Yeah. So what's your mess deck like? I mean, where do you mess with the normal seamen at all?
Yeah, I was in the seamen's mess deck near the forecastle, just inside from Pompom Gunsmonson, like, you know. And we used to sit out on there when we were at sea, out on the Gunsmonson, taking in the sun. That would be a place to sit after you had your meals, like, you know.
Now, tell us what your duties are, because it's quite unusual. But as you say, there's only two torpedo men.
He done the writing, but he didn't do that after he just done seamanship. I'd done on there. We had paravanes. They're protection. They stream them from the bows.
And they'd stop mines, aren't they?
Well, the mines run along. Supposedly, run along the wire, which is serrated, and they either cut the mine wire, and the paravanes have like cutters, teeth. The wires go in, hopefully cut the wire free from the mine. Had them on there. We had carriers that lifted torpedoes under the aircraft. We didn't carry no torpedoes, so we didn't use them. Didn't have an ASDIC set. And demolitions. I had
now
demolitions
what
on there.
What does that mean?
Didn't mean nothing. If we were in a port with Americans, they used to be a bit nervous after Pearl Harbor, and they were frightened of frogmen. So you used to have to tell them where the grenades were, drop grenades over the side, should in the event of anybody coming up, try and stick mines on the side, which never happened anyway.
So it's quite a strange position to be. Were you an able torpedoean? It looks like you made it.
Was I able seaman then? I able seaman aboard there, yeah.
You become in July 1948, so yeah, because you're on the Triumph from April 49 to, it looks like December 50. I can't quite read the month there. What's the Triumph doing, you know, when you first joined her? You joined her in Sheerness. What's she doing?
I think we went down to Portsmouth, I think. Did we go to Scotland to pick up aircraft or something? I think we went down to Scotland. Yeah, I'm sure we went to Scotland. I don't know if we picked up aircraft. Then you go out and you do working up trials. You're at sea.
Now, what do you remember about the working up trials?
Well, that's all aircraft flying. All flying on and off. And I had a... On there, I was a special... Because we had no torpedo and hazards, they put me on a gun, which where that 5 weeks training comes in, like, you know. So they know that you know how to hold a shell, like, and put it in, like, something like that.
Was that your active service station? Or
no, that my action station was a gun on there. And I'd been on there a little while.
Which gun was it?
It was a Bofa, I think. A Bofa, I'm sure. And they used to do mock the aircraft when they're doing working up to mock attacks. They come down at you. And I used to think to myself, if this was for real, would I have the guts to stand here? And I thought, it'd take more courage to run than to stay. I always believed that. You know, when they come in, they're not firing at you, but they come down, look so huge. And you think, but then you think, would I have the guts to run away? Like, you know, you wonder between the two. I think it takes more courage to run than stay there. But anyway, after a little while.
How did the Bofas work? I mean, were you fully...
Well, they had the gunnery ratings that fired them and...
So what were you doing?
I think I was loading. Like, I think that's all. I can't remember much.
So you weren't actually firing it.
No,
you're just part of the gun crew.
That's right. But after a short while, the torpedo officer on board, which we had, he got to hear about it and he said, "No way," because remember I was ASDICS, and on a gunfire you've got your hearing, haven't you, to consider, and he wouldn't have me on there, so I got took off there.
So what did they put you on instead?
I can't remember what I went on, but I know I had a special sea duty in the wheelhouse, on the wheel. Every time we went to sea, entering and leaving harbour, I went onto the wheel.
Now tell me about that. Why you? I mean, were you good on the wheel? Or
no, you're picked. You happen to, as a place comes up, they say, right, when you go on watch, there's so many of them on watch, so many get the sea boat, so many get lookouts.
So this is your cruising duty, basically?
When I went to sea, when we were in harbour, I went into the wheelhouse. Now, in there you had two, one on each telegraph for the engine, telegraph to the engines, and the coxswain, he'd be on the wheel. That was entering and leaving harbour. Well, when you'd done your watch keeping, 4 hours, you know, doing the 12, that was my special sea duty in there, and I'd go in to go on the telegraphs, but then during that time, doing the 4 hours, you'd do an hour on the wheel.
So, what does it mean being on the wheel? Is it difficult? I mean, or is it
no,
just...
No, it's quite... You can't see where you're going, like, because you're inside, but you get orders down the voice pipe, and you had to make a compass, and you just keep it on the figure that they tell you to steer, and they've got an indicator when they tell you wheel movements, so like 15, 10, 15, what degrees to go over the starboard or port, that's it. And then when they tell you to steer, of course, you just keep that. If you get a C one side, you find you just turn the wheel one side and keep it back. And when you were flying on and off, it was you wasn't allowed to use no more than 2.5 degrees of wheel, I think, because you didn't want no. And that was quite easy because usually the weather conditions flying on and off were pretty good, so you didn't have any C left or right. It was quite easy. Yeah.
Now, what about on the telegraph when you had to?
Oh, that was just turning wheel, one for half head, full head, and what have, and the other for revolutions, just two handles. They called down what they wanted, whether it half head or whatever, and then how many revolutions.
Can you explain the watch system? I mean, I know we know, but can you explain how it works? Cause it's
yeah, you have when you're in watch keeping, you go in. You have two parts of watch, port and starboard normally. First to starboard, second starboard, first to port, second port, whatever watch you are. They'll call your part a watch, and you do. The first watch is from 8 to 12 midnight. A middle watch is from 12 to 4. Then you've got the morning watch from 4 to 8. Then the forenoon watch from 8 to 12. And then at 4 o'clock, you've got the first dog, which is only 2 hours, and the second dog, which is 2 hours from six to eight.
So that spins it round. One.
Yeah, if the only time you get time, if you're doing the middle watch, you get the afternoon, you do the afternoon, but you'll find if you do the afternoon, it works that you get the middle watch, which is from 12 to 4 of the night. And then you'll get the afternoon, next afternoon, make them in close, which is the afternoon off. And you go on again at 4 o'clock for the first dog, first 2 hours. That's all.
Now, so if you were, so you got your cruising duty, well, you know, sea duties in the wheelhouse, you know, you've got your other, you don't seem to have many duties on your real job.
Well, it's just seamanship.
Yeah, you're just being a seaman, right?
You're cleaning, doing whatever, when you're in
the What about the harbour. Cleaning? I mean, was it really scrubbing the decks, something?
You scrub decks of a morning, yeah, you scrubbed it, we had wooden deck in there, you did on the, I can't remember on the, Triumph, yeah, the wooden deck for it, yeah, on the Triumph.
But how do you scrub decks? I mean, you know.
A scrubber, yeah, like a broom, a hard brush broom, then squeegee after.
Just generally cleaning ship then?
Yeah, and in a rule, like, you know, you do your watch keeping, then you do cooks of the mess
It was canteen messing then? Was it in canteens or...?
General. It'd be general messing, yeah, because...
That's where the cooks prepare it, and the cooks of the mess just bring it down to the
that's
mess.
That's right, the cooks prepare it, take it down the galley, and the cooks down there cook it. Canteen, you do the lot, didn't you?
It's general where they do the lot. Canteen's where you buy food from a canteen.
Yeah, you have to buy it. You have a caterer that buys it, and... You prepare all your meal, don't you?
Yeah, so it's
and
not...
And you take it down to cook, that's right.
So it's
that's
general messing.
On there, yeah, all you did, I think, you had two cooks to clean the mess, and they they have to peel the potatoes. You used to have to take the potatoes down, peel the potatoes.
That was all.
And clear up after dinner, wash up, clean the mess out of the morning.
And what was the food like, as far as you were concerned?
It was always very good. I always think the food was very good. I always do.
So what sort of food would you get? You know, what sort of meals would they prepare for you on the Triumph?
Well, the morning you'd always get a cereal, I remember. Would you? No, you wouldn't always. You get that. If you had a pair of kippers, you'd get a cereal with it, I think. I can't remember. And kippers, if you had kippers, nobody wanted them. You could have as many as you liked. Nobody cared for kippers, funny enough. You'd get other things. You'd have eggs, fried bread, much the same as...
And what about lunch? What time?
Yeah.
Or dinner, whichever, you know.
Dinner, what I can remember of it, yeah, the same. Anything, I think. Same as pies and such like, yeah.
Plenty of it.
Oh, yeah, I think you did, yeah. I was quite happy with food.
Now, what about washing your clothes? Because I don't know whether they had a laundry or whether it was in a bucket.
No, you used to go down the bathroom, wash your clothes. On the Triumph, we had a laundry. We had Chinamen on there. Well, in the Med Fleet, you had Maltese, but in Far East, you had a laundry.
So it would be done for you?
If you wanted it. If you wanted to pay for it, yeah. They'd
so
laundry
which did you do?
I do my own mostly, like, yeah. Go down and wash it.
Is that washing it in a bucket, or is it...
Yeah, that or a bowl in the bathroom. You used to go down there, strip off, wash it, yeah. And then you had a drying room, I think. Yeah, drying room, take it in. That was the problem, getting stuff dry and iron.
Now, what about recreations?
Well, on there, wasn't bad. Because being big, you used to have a lot of deck hockey going from place to place. That was all right. Every part
did you play?
I played, yeah.
I mean, what's deck hockey like? They always seem to play. I mean,
brilliant. Brilliant, yeah, they all parts of the ship had a team, and make your own rope pucks, like, you know, you had like walking sticks to it, yeah, it was a terrific competition, tug of war, yeah, on there too, like on the Triumph there, the Americans sent us loads of games across, we had more games than enough, and then they had, as you say, the Uckers, competitions, crib competitions.
Why was Ucca so popular in the day?
I don't know. It's a children's game, isn't it? I really don't know. I don't know why Ucca's Ludo. It's a children's game, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. Really don't.
Did you play it?
I've played it, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, was it a gambling game? Was there a way?
You didn't see much gambling, maybe. Very little. I can't.
So no Crown and Anchor.
No, the only time I played Crown and Anchor, well, I didn't play it. The only time I saw it was coming home on a troop ship. I saw him playing it there. I never knew Crown and Anchor. My father had told me about it, but I never knew Crown and Anchor. Surprisingly, very little gambling went on.
What about, was there a cinema? Because it is a big ship.
Yeah, you had a cinema on there, yeah.
Was that popular?
Yeah, and in the warm place, they'd shut me out the deck of a night. You'd have it on there. On deck, like, have a screen rigged up, and you sit up there and watch it. Yeah.
And what about how did you get on with the lads in the mess? You know, because I know you got on reasonably well, bullying, but did you make any good mates or what was it like?
Yeah, you make. The trouble is with the Navy, you make some really good mates, but I made a couple, and then you go spend so long together, then you get drafted and you go to different ships, and I've gone to a place, met him, and he's made new mates. You've made new mates, you know. I mean, it's just hello, like, you know, where you've been great mates before, and then when you split up and you make new friends on different, you know, you never sit together all that long, like, you know, a couple of years and you're split up again.
Well, did you ever get a bit tense because you're all a bit crowded on a mess deck? I mean,
I think there's times when. There's times I think everybody at times gets I can't say that I ever saw any fighting. Bad words sometimes, but that's no more than that. I think it's the discipline wouldn't allow it. Like, you know, you I've probably seen a few threats right away, but normally no, it's all good behavior.
And what about the leading seamen, the petty officers really, I suppose. How do you get on with that? What do you think of them as people running the ship?
I was leading hand on the Birmingham.
No, I mean on the Triumph.
The Triumph. But leading hand on the mess, I liked very much. He was good at his job, which I respected. And he was quite friendly, very friendly. But
what was the role of the leading hand then? We'll come to that. But why was he good at it?
I only knew the leading hand that I'm talking about as of the mess. He kept the mess in a decent way, you know what I mean? The fellas and all, they all respected him. And on there, yeah.
What about the petty officers? You see much of them?
Yeah.
What were they like?
On the Triumph? Yeah, they're quite all right. Well, I can remember. You might have had the one or two you thought were... One in particular I can remember, a bit more noisy than the others. And
you mean he shouted more?
Yeah, I think so.
Unnecessarily, as
probably, yeah. Probably wanted to be heard more than anything. Then you get the braggarts, and there's one or two that a bit big-headed. You always get that one or two, don't you? Whatever the branch is, like, you know.
Now, what about officers?
On the whole, yeah, not bad. Didn't see much of them. Well... You work with a couple of them, like, you know. On there, I work mainly with that torpedo. He's quite good. He was, I think his name was Rand Turner. He's quite good.
Because sometimes they call them pigs.
That's their name, isn't it? Pigs, yeah. I don't know why.
But it sounds like they're unpopular, but then often the same people seem to like them. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's just a nickname, isn't it?
Did your bloke know his job?
Yeah.
So he knew as much about torpedo, because sometimes they seem to not necessarily know their trade. Signal officers, for instance, often didn't.
They
seem
rely.
To know.
I think like they rely a lot on the petty officers. The petty officers are the ones I think they did rely a lot on the petty officers.
Was she a happy ship? Or do you know what I mean by a happy ship? Was it a happy ship?
I think so.
What made a ship happy? Do you say? Is it officers? Is it a ship? Is it? What is it?
I don't know. I think they've just got on together. I can't put your finger on it, but I don't think I'd know of anybody that wasn't. Yeah, you know, I know they had.
So you'd know if it was an unhappy ship?
Yeah, of course you would, yeah. There's bits of unrest at times, but on the main, what I can remember of it, yeah.
So where'd you go on it then? You work up, then what? You off to the Med, or where you
going? We were in the Mediterranean then, and then.
Now, what were you doing in the Med?
I think mainly working up, operation. I think that's all. I think we had a one time. Did we go to Tobruk for something? There was a bit of something going on in Tobruk. They worried them a bit. Went there.
But you don't know what it was.
I can't remember. I can't remember. I know the program come. They said that at that time China was going communist, weren't they? They were turning communist, and I think they were getting worried about Hong Kong. And we were going to be shipped over to the Far Eastern Fleet. And the skipper cleared our deck to tell us. And he said, although it's not highly confidential, sooner you didn't let it be known, like, you know, because we'd love to arrive in Hong Kong Harbour as a big surprise. Just arrive there and be a surprise. But it's not highly confidential, but we'd like you keep it under you as much as you could. Well, everywhere you went on shore that night, if you had Triumph on your cap tally, the Maltese was sinking a slow boat to China, so everybody ashore already knew before us, I think.
What was it like ashore? I mean, one of the reasons you wanted to get out was to see all these new places, to have, you know, what do you think of places like, I don't know whether you got ashore at Jib or Malta or any of these places. What was it like ashore there?
Oh, when I first started, I mean, brilliant. The first time, my first time ashore was actually in Malta, first place I ever went to. And a fellow was telling me, we went in the afternoon, and he'd been before, and I think there was four of us. One had been there before, and the other three were first time ashore in a foreign port. And he was taking us different places. And I remember the sunshine and sitting there with a drink. And it feels like holiday now when I think of sitting back there ashore, and that's my lovely sunshine. There were some nice places, you know, went to. Yeah, I was smashing.
Would you drink much yet ashore, or still fairly?
That was, I think the idea then, I mean you'd go ashore in the afternoon, so obviously you couldn't, but you'd always have something to eat as well, go along with the gut in Malta, innit, and get something to eat. But I think the idea then was to try and drink as much as you could at the time to see what drink. That was the idea of everybody, I believe. But there was other things too, like, you know.
But you just enjoyed your time,
I did enjoy it, yeah.
Now, what about, so you were going, you knew you were going off to the Far East, so what about the trip out? What do you remember of, it's quite a journey.
Yeah, smashing. I like that. One of the best parts, I've been through it a couple of times, the canal. It's marvellous going through the canal.
Wow, what's so good about it?
Oh, you're so close to land, you see things ashore going on. They're coming up to see, I remember seeing the camel train, seeing the women with things on their head, all from the ship's side, like, you know, you see it as you go along. Then there's a road, and there's some army trucks running on the side. But you're watching all the time. Arabs coming down, having a wash in the mornings, you know.
And all right up close, because it's not that big, is it?
No, they're like, they're waving up to you, like, you know, and they're lifting their things up to you, making gestures, like, you know, yeah, quite good.